Children between the ages of 8 to 12 spend on average of 5 hours and 33 minutes daily on screens for entertainment. And the kind of entertainment they're probably viewing isn't the most wholesome.
Out of everything that's being put out there, from TikTok to the Hollywood movies to Netflix, TV shows, only 15% of what's being made is considered family friendly. Even less of that would be considered God-centered. On the opposite side of that, over 268% of what's being made is considered adult content. Not like mature, but just for adults. 268%. So if your kid is just scrolling for 5.5 hours a day watching just fluffy entertainment, the likelihood of them seeing inappropriate things or things that don't really align with your ideals is really great.
Shame on them for not becoming like little children, because if they were becoming like little children, most of that wouldn't be being made.
So instead of just complaining about it, we thought, let's do something about this.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. I am thrilled that you're joining me today because we have a great conversation. It's close to my heart. It's a different kind of conversation than all of my typical podcast episodes, but it's an important one. This one is, it's more about, well, it's about finding ourselves just frustrated with the way media is and how it's shaping our kids and what we can do about it. It's really a challenge that many of us are facing, and it's time that we really addressed it head on. So I have guests that we are going to explore what they're doing in this space and just kind of talk through the pressing issue of how entertainment is discipling our children and what we can do to reclaim that influence for good. So whether you realize it or not, your kiddos are being influenced, whether it's by something good or by something bad. I saw a stat that said that from 0 to 8 years old, from the crib to the classroom is what they're calling them, 40% of those kiddos have tablets by the age of 2 years old. They've got tablets in their hands. So what are they watching? And are you monitoring it? We're going to discuss the alarming rise of tech addiction and just that sense of entitlement and rebellion that it can foster. We're also going to go behind the scenes of filmmaking to discuss how powerful storytelling can serve as a tool in spiritual warfare. Now, this isn't about creating just clean content. It's about crafting narratives that are boldly pro-God. And so today I have on the show Nathan and Delitha Myers. And Nathan is lead designer of Capernaum Studios and Gardens, featured in seasons 1 through 3 of the global hit show. I hope you've watched it, the series The Chosen. Like, my husband and I love The Chosen. Oh, my goodness. But he was featured in seasons 1 through 3. Let's see. And Delitha is a trained musical theater performer and actress and has created a bold, God-honoring kids film that combat today's cultural confusion, rebellion, and moral drift, not with lectures, but through story and through music and through truth. That's right, truth. Now, they have extensive bios, and I'm going to list that in the show notes. I'm just amazed at what all they've done in this space, but their hearts are so good, and they want to keep, you know, being a part of quality content for you and for your children and for your grandchildren. So I hope you'll join in on this conversation and really discover how we can reclaim our role as just influential guides in our children's lives. So enjoy this episode.
Well, Nathan and Delitha, thank you for being on the Visibly Fit podcast. It is really a delight to have you. This is a different kind of show than what I normally am speaking on, but it's so important. So again, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, you guys are doing great things. And my audience already heard your bio and oh my goodness, like the list goes on of all the greatness that you guys are doing. And it's for God's glory. And so we're just so grateful that you're being obedient to the call. But I'm thinking about the, I looked up just some stats on through Common Sense Media, and it was just stats back in 2024 that talks about children between the ages of 8 to 12 spend on average of 5 hours and 33 minutes daily on screens for entertainment. That's not for the schoolwork. It's not for anything else, but it's for entertainment. And the kind of entertainment they're probably viewing isn't the most wholesome. And I think of different scripture verses around that. But can you talk to us first about what your mission is right now? And I know you have a new film out and we'll talk about that, but what's your mission? What's your heart?
Well, I think from a mission standpoint, we are clearly just allowing ourselves to be led by God into whatever creative endeavor he puts in front of us. If you look at my past, it's rather eclectic in terms of what I've been involved in creatively, but when people ask me, how did you stumble into all of those things? I say, well, I learned early on, you just say, here I am, Lord, send me. And you, and then doors appear and you go, oh, this, okay, that. So in the case of what we're currently doing, we got a very clear call a few years ago to make a movie. And it was not at that time, make a movie for kids, about kids-centric issues or family issues. That's not what we were doing. We were just opening ourselves up, and Delitha can speak more about the writing process, to let's write something that is kind of flying in the face of flipping genres on their heads, and let's do something that's not been done before, and let's keep it organic. Let's just write and see what we get. And what we got is kind of like you get pregnant with an idea and you don't know if it's a boy or a girl until you have it. And then we had it. And then you're looking at that finished product going, oh, it's a movie about family, and it's a movie about kids, and it's a movie about online bullying and tech and how families are engaging with tech at home. And it's about self-aggrandizement and selfish ambition. And so when we retro-engineered what was written, then we realized we were being given a mission. And that was kind of after the fact. The original mission was just, let's be available and let's be open to wherever God leads us. But on the other side of retro-engineering the project, we had a mission to talk to people about family and kids and some of these issues I just mentioned. And of course, we have our own kids. And So it, we're living it and we're right in the middle of it with a 12-year-old and a 3-year-old. So
my 12-year-old, you know, I've watched a lot of things with her, and there are so few things out there that are actually appropriate, that are interesting, and that have God at the center of it. So the things I noticed that she was watching, I had problems with it. And so instead of just complaining about it, we thought, let's do something about this. And so we do have a project that's out there right now on Prime Video. We've got other projects we really want to make. And it's for my daughter, and it's for my son who's 3. But right now it's for my daughter because it's her age group and what she's interested in. And we looked at some stats, and out of everything that's being put out there, from TikTok to the Hollywood movies to Netflix, TV shows, only 15% of what's being made is considered family friendly.
And that's 15. That's not 15. 50, that's 1-5. 15.
That's family friendly. And then even less of that would be considered God centered, you know? And then on the opposite side of that, over 268% of what's being made is considered adult content for, you know, not like mature, but just for adults, 268%. So if your kid is just scrolling for 5.5 hours a day watching just fluffy entertainment, the likelihood of them seeing inappropriate things or things that don't really align with your ideals is really great.
And on top of that, I think 268% being, you know, maybe somewhere, well, includes the mature, and it includes everything else that's being made. That's very representative of the idea that the world is under the control of the evil one, and that all of that is, and they're so, I was talking to somebody the other day, I was just like, shame on them for not becoming like little children, because if they were becoming like little children, most of that wouldn't be being made. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't even venture to tell those stories because they make the world a darker place, not a better place in many, many cases. Are they honest and are they true? Sometimes. Are they organically contrived? Yeah, probably, but they're often coming out of the heart of a person who needs some transformation. They're coming out of the heart of someone who needs Jesus. And because of that, we get this glut of material that's very inappropriate for someone attempting to live a Christ-centered life, and especially our kids. And so we're just kind of standing at the precipice of looking at the glut going, how do we do something about this? And can we take what we have and our 5 loaves, 2 fish and make an offering here that helps tip things in the other direction?
Well, what you guys are doing is so important. My son is 25, but I remember back in the day when I was like, oh yeah, YouTube, just go on there and look at some animal videos. There's nothing wrong with that. And there was a situation where someone inserted something within that YouTube animal cute little video, and I had no idea. And I was mortified, and just, it was very traumatic. And I think innocently, you know, parents or grandparents don't really know that maybe the content isn't as innocent as it appears to be. They have to do their due diligence. They need to have thoughtful guidance. And so that's why what you're doing is so important. I mean, my husband and I have a hard time finding good movies ourselves. Like, we're like, I don't want to see all the shoot 'em up, blood and guts, just junk and, you know, profanity and all the things. Is there just a good movie out there? And they're hard to find. They're out there. There's a lot of great ones. And of course, we seek those out and share with our community. But what you have done with Aria Appleton Shines is the name of it. It's really about an 11-year-old little girl. So I know you were inspired to write this for your daughter, who's 12, for her to have something to watch and relate to. And so let's talk a little bit about the character and kind of the story and what was the genesis of it as far as the decision to unfold the story the way you did.
So I started writing it based on what I knew. And so I knew Mean Girls. I grew up with them. Sometimes I was one, sadly, but usually I wasn't. I was just affected by them.
Yeah.
And now I see my daughter and she sees these Mean Girls too. They're still there. They don't go away. And so I knew Mean Girls and I knew musical theater and wanting to perform. And then I knew Jesus. And so I kind of combined those elements and put it in a movie. And this main girl, she also meets a homeschool Christian family, which is also something I know. So it's just all of my experiences kind of put into this film.
Yeah. And from my standpoint, I wasn't writing initially on that side of things with Delitha. She handed me the first draft screenplay about 40 days into writing and said, finish it. And and she was really mostly done, but it was quite good in its original form. But I rewrote the script with a funny friend of mine, Jason Davidson, who we just rewrote it. We kind of tested the characters' sets against one another, the thematic beats and the comedic beats, particularly like, do these jokes land and is this going to be funny? And I'm a songwriter amongst many other things that I do. And I looked at it initially as someone who had done musical theater and the story addressed a elementary school musical theater program and a high school musical theater program. And I thought, well, this has to be a musical movie. And so we started collaborating on that side of the story. And so this really great screenplay that got kind of scrubbed for comedy and scrubbed for its beats, then had music added to it. And so some of the places where we had been telling the story narratively got replaced with, well, let's tell the story through song. And so we we actually wrote songs to fit into certain places. And so it morphed a little bit as we kind of sank into the process. We were, you know, both having met, we met doing musical theater. And so I kind of connected in that and thought, you know, a lot of these movies that are out that kids really love, and the Big D understands this, they make movies that are very musical. They understand music kind of drives emotion. They promote that music heavily to help drive the themes of those stories, and sometimes ideologies that, you know, might not suit your life or your belief system. And we thought, well, let's make a musical movie. Let's take this. Let's just do the whole thing. And so it's kind of funny. People say never work with kids and animals. We did both, mm-hmm. and we made it a musical. So we bit off a whole lot all at once for our first project, but we think we managed somehow by the grace of God to get it all in there, made it all happen.
Yeah. Well, I know God is blessing it and will continue to bless it, but I think about the power of music, right? And how it does resonate with our soul. And I was listening to actually one of our, I'm remarried, but my husband's granddaughter, so not necessarily mine, but I love her like my own. She was singing something from Wicked, right? Because it's, yeah. and it's, I want to be popular. And I thought, oh man, you know, and she's adorable and they're homeschooled and they love the Lord and all that. But all of a sudden I'm like, oh my goodness, this song is not one that I would love for her to be singing, you know? So anyway, I think the power of music and what you guys are doing is really, really good. So people can find this on Prime Video right now, right?
Correct. It's on Prime Video, and the soundtrack, if you're interested in sampling it, is available through our links. Like if you go to ariaappleton.com, that's A-R-I-A, Appleton, Appleton.com, then you can link out to all social media and all of the places where the movie is or the music is. And the music is at iTunes, Apple Music, and Amazon Music. But if you link through our link tree off our website, it'll take you to a site called Hear Now, and it'll allow you to sample bigger chunks than what you might get at those sites.
Awesome. And, well, I'll put that in the show notes as well. That'd be good. So what does your daughter think of the film?
She loves it. She's watched it in several different stages of her life. So when she was a little younger, she really liked the animated sections because we do have a couple of animated sections, and she would just, you know, lock in on those. She loved it. And then as she got a little older, she really loved the music. And now that she's 12, she just loves the overall story. And she still laughs and she still finds a lot of enjoyment in it. So we think it speaks highly for all ages of kids.
Yeah. And we've had kids as young as 6 and 7 who will sit and obsess and watch it. In fact, our 3-year-old strangely sat and watched it. We thought it was kind of impressive that he actually sat and watched most of it because he's so easily distractible.
Boy.
right. But we find the sweet spot for kids who probably are going to find it like really attractive to them are probably 8 and 9 years old on up to 12 and 14. We've shown it to some college groups as well, and college students think it's hilarious in the same way that they or I or somebody might sit down and watch something like Diary of a Wimpy Kid or Napoleon Dynamite and find it humorous and quirky and ironic and still enjoy it, even though it's about kids. Because there's a lot of adult characters in the story too, and it's not just 10-year-old kids, but they are our primary kid cast.
Okay, that's so good. Well, you guys are listening, go to the show notes and grab that link, and also just go to ariaappleton.com. And also I think it's /trailer if you want to see the trailer there. But I want to talk and dig in more about just media and our souls and just the impact that it has on our health. And Nathan, before the interview, you let me in on a little insight that you've got like a holistic medical chiropractic background. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Let's dive into this little, this conversation a little bit more. So as in terms of what we put into our body, you know, there's the verse from Matthew 6:22-23, and it's uses the analogy of the eye as a lamp of our body, right? For the body, suggesting the focus of our attention impacts our spiritual state. So let's talk a little bit about that at the cellular level and maybe at a spiritual level about what we are watching, how we need to really put parameters around that and be wise, especially with our children.
Yeah, it's funny. When I work with clients, I know it seems a little disparate to people that I have a holistic care practice. You're like, well, I thought you were a filmmaker or an actor or something. And I go, well, I've always been involved in the theater arts since I was in junior high. And that led to scenic work, and it led to production work, and it led to acting jobs and all the things that I've done over the years. But in the year 2004 or so, a friend of mine kind of got me involved in the chiropractic care universe. And eventually, 15 years later, I had multiple certifications, and I had this holistic care practice that seemed disparate to my my creative life. Until I started to see this incredible crossover, and God kept pushing me like, no, he was taking me somewhere. I couldn't quite get it. But we talked to people a lot about what they put in their bodies. Mm-hmm. Right. But Jesus says, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him unclean. It's what comes out. Because as man thinks in his heart, so he is. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that concept is so strangely foreign to Christians that they're horking down pharmacopoeia to try to solve a problem that's actually inside them. And it's not a biochemical problem. Right. It's actually an emotional problem. It's an anger problem. It's a bitterness problem. It's an unforgiveness problem. It's a grudge problem. It's all of those things. And so if what we sit and think about all the time and what we self-generate is actually important and it matters. In fact, it matters more for us than it does to God. God is not necessarily offended by those things. Those universal laws are in place to help us, to support us, right? That's for us. It's not for him. And so you could be like, well, why do you want me to have to be this way? Why do you tie my hands in this way? Well, I'm telling you, it's not wise to go that direction. You should don't let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, that's for you. It's not for the Lord. That's because if you do, then that's going to create some potential issues for you psychologically, spiritually, which in turn creates physical issues for you. And so if those things are true, and I am convinced they are, then what we sit and dwell on and what we think about and what we watch matters. You know, in the book of Job says, I'll put no vile thing in front of my eyes, right? How many vile things are you putting in front of your eyes on a regular basis?
Well, just real quick to put a little thought there, how many vile things are you putting in front of your eyes that you don't even recognize are vile anymore?
Hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, come on, preach.
Desensitized.
Yeah. Yeah, we've become hard-hearted, and we're not really paying attention to what it is, and so it's a huge subject that I think the church needs to talk more about, but I'm afraid that it's not an unwillingness to talk about it at this point. I think it's you get close to that solution, and if that solution is going to require somebody to have to forgive their neighbor in order to get well, right? Well, that's tough, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big leap for a lot of people who they want to nurse that grudge and they want to act like they've forgiven. And then in some cases, those people need to forgive themselves. They need to forgive God. They need to, and that requires some discipline and some responsibility, taking responsibility for what you feel and how you engage with others and with the Lord. But
and admitting that you've got sin in your life, right?
Exactly. It's just easier to hide from it. And it's easier to hide from it and believe that you can take that maybe prescribed thing and that's going to solve the problem, when in fact the problem's probably rooted in something else.
Right. And so, right. Yeah, it takes work, and a lot of people aren't willing to go there. But man, if they could just go there and surrender and forgive and trust the Lord that He's got them, man, things would really change. But all right, well, I could go on talking about that stuff all day, but I do want to talk to Delitha about what your thoughts are about, creating pro-God kind of films and entertainment, not just clean and not just not bad content, but pro-God. Let's talk about that a little bit, because like you said, 15% out there is good content, and however many percent of that is...
It's less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with my daughter, you know, I mean, most of the things she watches has nothing to do with a spiritual relationship or a deep relationship or even mentioning God in a positive way. And a lot of the stuff that is put out there for kids is just like animated Bible stories. And my kids don't want to watch that. You know, they just don't. So, but taking something that we do enjoy watching, like some of the things that are on right now that have been on that she enjoys watching and I like watching with her are like Gordimer Gibbons. It's an Amazon show, and something on Disney. It was The Secrets of Sulphur Springs. We liked that. Just these episodic things. We really love those sorts of shows, but they do not have any actual substance if you really are looking at it. It's just fluff. It's just entertainment. And is it bad? Most of it's not. A lot of movies will sneak some stuff in there, though. So I want to create things that kids want to watch and the parents want to watch with them that does have God at the center, at the core of what we're talking about, so that there is some substance there. And so that when we sit down and talk about, well, what did we just watch? What did you like? What did you not like? We're not talking about these worldly agendas that just got put in our lap that now we have to talk to our 10-year-old about that we weren't quite ready to talk to them about. Yeah. So creating positive conversations. And so like with our movie Aria, we created a parent and leaders guide that accompanies the movie, and it talks about the six main themes. So adoption, how are we all adopted as Christians? It talks about dying to self, which is really important that this little 11-year-old diva in our movie dies to self and you know, is refined.
Especially really quick in a world that's all about me, 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 and more me, and I can do it and I don't need anybody else, and self-reliance.
Mm-hmm. It's on our poster. On our poster, on the movie poster, Aria is wearing a t-shirt that says me, 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 me.
I do see that.
Me,
actually.
But it's, yeah, it's, you know, like, it's like she's singing me, 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 but it's, we're being ironic. So,
yeah. Yeah. And one of our themes is honoring parents, which is so often not shown in media. And so we talk about all these themes that are in the movie. And for parents who need help talking with their kids, or just want a guide, or if you want to show it to your youth group and have some youth group discussions, you know, there's scriptures that go along with each theme and some discussion questions. But we want to create positive conversations that are stimulating to talking about God and talking about real things that matter, and positive conversations and creating good characters. Like, I want my daughter to be a good person, right? Well, if she's just watching YouTube or TikTok or whatever, and she's doing that for 5.5 hours a day, every day, it's going to be harder for her to be just a good, solid, well-rounded person than
if the algorithms are going to give her more of what she's been scrolling.
But if I, you know, actually engage with her and talk to her and we do things as a family together, the chances are better that she'll turn out like we hope she will.
Yes.
So we're trying to create positive pro-God substance.
We also believe that pro-God substance comes from pro-God people. Mm-hmm. So if you're a pro-God person and you open yourself up and say, Lord, use me to write something, then he could do that. Then he could inspire you no differently than he inspired the writers of scripture to write something that's useful to help others, to teach, to train. I always tell people that we're taking the cue from the great storyteller, because he used parables to teach truth. And parables, it's risky to say this to people, but parables are, for all intents and purposes, a piece of fiction that's not literally maybe something that historically happened. Maybe it did, or maybe it's based on somebody's life, but it's just a little piece of fiction or a fable or a piece of something, but it has wisdom in it. It has truth infused in it. And can we, as God's children, write similar things? Yes, we can. And those that are writing and want to serve in that capacity should open themselves up and go, you know what, I'm gonna risk not just rehashing another Bible story, even though those Bible stories are useful and they are true and they are good. But could we take the Bible story and maybe modernize it to some way so that the truth is still present, but it's more more accessible to a modern kids? I think we need to think creatively that way to save this next generation.
I want to say too, one of the coolest things that we have been doing, this is going to be our second year, we're going to serve for a little over a week at a camp. And Nathan serves as the film director for that camp. And there's all of these kids from age 13 to 23 that come and meet in Midlothian, Texas. They get to be on the set of where The Chosen films a lot of their stuff. And they get to meet a lot of the Chosen cast and be taught by them and be taught by Nathan. And just to see this next generation of filmmakers, it's really, really neat to get to pour into them.
Yeah, we're hoping to inspire them to that type of more out of the box creativity. And that's kingdom useful stuff.
Mm-hmm. I love that, because I think, unfortunately, a lot of people in their minds think, oh, it's a Christian film or it's a Christian whatever. It's going to be boring, or it's not going to be, you know, have any, you know, depth or good. It's just going to be like, I don't know, Little House on the Prairie. Everything's like Little House on the Prairie. And it's not, right? Yeah. Like, what I hear you saying too is that if you've got a book in you, if you've got a song in you, if you've got a film in you, don't be afraid to start downloading those creative downloads and see what the Lord wants to do with it. Because now is a time that we can really step up in our giftings and our callings and help to hopefully inspire and in turn the generation that we are looking to turn to seek after God and God alone and not all the worldly things. So I love what y'all are doing. Behind the scenes of filmmaking, I know that, I mean, I've been on sets and I've seen, it can be a little chaotic, right? There's a lot going on, and the role of storytelling is, it's a lot. But you say that, hang on just a second, I'm going to reread this. It says, behind the scenes of filmmaking and the role of storytelling in spiritual warfare. That's one of the things that you guys talk about. Let's talk about the insight on the spiritual warfare aspect of when you're in the middle of storytelling and doing a God directed story. How that's no joke, right?
It is no joke. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, powers, governors of this world, darkness. So there are, there's an obvious need to shift away from us versus them, where we look at the world, or especially Hollywood, because I hear a lot of people in the church talk this way. I've heard people say, we're going to make a movie and fire off rockets into the enemy's camp. And they're kind of talking practically, seriously, about trying to figure out how to take that mountain for the Lord, quote unquote, and they're going to do it kind of physically. I don't think that can be done physically. I don't think that we should even be aspiring to that type of ring of power control over that. I do think that God uses people who are in the spirit, writing and creating, that he can raise people up and just build your own boat, basically. That's really what we've been doing. We've kind of been building our own boat and equipping that boat so that that boat floats and that boat is not weighed down spiritually in terms of warfare. It's not weighed down by encumbrances of what George Washington called and Jefferson called entangling alliances. We don't have entangling alliances with the enemy's camp. We have we're kind of floating around doing our own thing. We're kind of on our own mission. Obviously, we pray about what we're going to do. We pray about what's next. We pray for protection, and we pray that what we've made will hit the target that God intended, regardless of what we wanted. Our hope has been that at best it would be a really great, useful tool to help inspire kids and their parents, particularly the parents. I think it's important, great to catch the kids, inspire the kids, but as a tool to do some spiritual warfare to help wake some parents up. Yes. I think that's useful too, where we go, hey, you need to be more, maybe consider being more involved in your kids' lives. Consider maybe getting plugged in. Maybe you need a career change. Maybe you need some new household rules. Maybe you need a major shift in your household. Because if you're not paying attention, then somebody else is going to raise your kids. The state's going to raise your kids, and they're going to teach them things you didn't want them to believe. Or
TikTok is going to raise your kids.
TikTok's raising your girls. You know, it's like you're going to have to maybe pick up a sword and get in there and fight. And so we're hoping that the film itself and the guide and just the conversation that could come up out of a project like ours will inspire that type of parental authority reestablishment, where they pick up their own swords as parents and they get back involved in their kids' lives. So on that level, we consider it maybe an equipping mission for that type of spiritual warfare for the parents.
That's so good. I love that. And I love that you guys have, this booklet to go along with the film so that, you know, they can do at churches or in different, you know, whether it's youth groups or even just young girls, little book clubs or movie clubs or whatever. Right. And I think it's great that they can go through that and do that together and grow together in the Lord. So what is next for you guys? I know that this is happening now, but what's next? What's going on?
We have a couple of projects that we would love to make. There's one that's an episodic series that I talked about, which it's fun. It's taking like themes from the Bible, like Adam and Eve, being tempted, right? So that temptation, taking that and kind of spinning it into a kid series where these kids have to go through what these other Bible characters went through in a different sort of twist. It's very fun and fantasy. I love fantasy. It's one of my favorite.
And that's big right now. Fantasy.
Yeah, but the morals taught in those series are identical to the morals taught in the biblical story. We're just kind of peeling off the Middle Eastern disconnect where kids just, American kids don't understand that. There's so much Hebrew history and, history of all those nations that modern kids, they don't connect to that very well. And so, but how do you take the same truth, the same archetypal stories and give that to them? And then a parent could go, and this is the parent's job, right? A youth minister could do it too, but we're hoping parents will do it, where parents go, hey, you know, that's cool. That story's also like this Bible story, and help the kid connect it to the Bible story that way.
Great
they go,
dinner conversation.
Dinner conversations. That's right.
I mean, that is what I would love to make, but we kind of want Aria to get out there, get through marketing it, see kind of where it's going to live on, and then fundraise, and then we can make that.
We have a few concepts too that are not exclusively for kids.
Yeah, we do.
But they would be accessible to families in general, and so we have some other things outside of kid content. But like I said earlier, when we got into this, we just wrote something organic that we thought would be fun for us to make. Mm-hmm. It happened to be something that is pertinent to kids and families. And so everybody's kind of looking at us going, oh, you guys are, you're making family movies. We're like, well, we did.
Yeah, we did one.
Maybe we can make some more.
Yeah. But immediately we're going to do Camp CHFA, which is Camp with the Chosen.
Film Camp with the Chosen at Camp Hoblitzell is August 1st through the 9th.
I want to go to that camp.
It is so great. It's such a cool experience.
And there's horseback riding and ziplining and all sorts of lovely things. That it's just camp.
Yeah, but there's a film side of that which I'm directing. Mm-hmm. Kirk B. Waller, who plays Gaius on The Chosen, is directing the acting for camera portion with us and a couple other friends. And then BJ Foreman, who's art department coordinator for The Chosen, is directing the musical theater side, and Delitha is directing music for them. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a great joyous Christ-centered creative experience that I feel thrilled to be a part of that. But that's kind of our next. Podcasting. Yeah. We're promoting the movie, and we're going to go do summer camp.
Yeah, and then so cool. My daughter's going to start 7th grade homeschool.
Woo! Oh my word! Yeah, I'm just sorry that y'all are so boring and have nothing going. And oh, it's so cool. I love just people with good hearts and that are doing great things for the kingdom. And so I just want to say thank you. And the best way to support you is to obviously go and go to ariaappleton.com. I want to keep saying shines, but it's just ariaappleton.com. And I'll put that in the show notes. But how else can we support you?
Absolutely.
Follow you through social media and what else?
So if you want to do the leader's guide, that's through givesendgo.com/Aria Appleton. It's also just go to our website and you'll find it. And so you can give any amount and you can give a penny and get it. You can give $1 million.
Do it, people. Whatever you want. $1 million. You hear that? Do it. Do it.
Do it. So that's a really great way to just support us, support the movie, support the next project. Yes. And then we're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Aria Appleton is. And you can find that, I'm sure, in the show notes.
And moms, if you're on LinkedIn or Blue Sky, we're also over there.
And of course, YouTube.
And YouTube, we're at Grafted Studios. That's our company name. We're grafted into the great root of the olive tree. Mm-hmm. We are G-R-A-F as in Frank, T-E-D, Grafted Studios on YouTube. And that's where all the Aria Appleton info is and the official links to our, like our trailers are sitting right there at YouTube.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I'm going to put all that in the show notes. And if y'all are just listening and not watching, make sure you come over to YouTube and tune in and look at how cool Nathan and Delitha are. They're just cool people. So go and support them and go and watch the movie and get your kids to watch this as well. So thank you guys for your time. God bless you. And thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show, so thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com, and thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.